Oh yeah.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Eerie House Radio. Eerie House Radio, which for me has become a journey. For me, every day I become a little less stupid. Who am I? Dale Cake from Spook Show. I am accompanied by...
And I'm still stupid. I'm Dave from Weird, This Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One, and we're here with the educator.
The one and only CW, here to take them on that lonesome, lonesome trail known as just being a tad smarter than you usually are.
I don't know. Like I said, for me, every day I learn something, so it's like I become a little less stupid.
Yeah, but it hurts my brain to learn things. Yeah. It hurts my brain to learn things, Dale.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's things to soften that, and they usually come in bottles or cans. But we have some fine radio tonight.
We do. Yes, we return back to the CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Good stuff.
Absolutely. Good stuff indeed. And hello to Fogs, Bane, and good old Bob in the chat room. How do you do?
How do you do? And Ugga Bugga Boo, Ugga Boo Boo Ugga. Did I say it right?
Hey, here you go. You got it.
Oh,
deal.
I get a gold star. All
Ooh,
right.
Ooh, well done. Well done.
If it ain't one of those,
you
learned
a gold star.
You learned a few things this weekend. Yeah.
I haven't had a gold star since third grade, but it's wonderful to have one here at Erie House. Where we share old-time radio most of the time. And tonight, The Haunted Mill from CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Yes, another favorite in there. Just so many amazing shows that come past, and we get to share here. Just of course, there were so many of the mystery theaters. What, 1,399 of them?
Yeah,
and
we're gonna play them all.
That doesn't include the repeats. That's the total of new episodes. Pretty amazing stuff.
A feast for the senses.
Yep.
And have some of our regulars here with Ralph Bell, Russell Wilson, Court Benson, and Patricia Elliott. She did quite a few. Ralph Bell did a lot. Russell Horton did a lot. And Court Benson did quite a few as well. So wonderful little tale of a haunted mill. And for those that don't believe... Neither did the doctor in this particular episode. So
perhaps events will change his mind.
Mm-hmm. It might or might not. I'm not giving a spoiler alert here.
Now, as much as I love these tales from the 30s, 40s, 50s that we normally play, it is wonderful to have CBS Radio Mystery fill out our Saturdays with something a little more modern. Maybe set in an older period, but a more modern production.
Yeah,
that's cool.
And what's funny, the way you say that, Dale, is because one of the biggest things against mystery theater was people said, "Wow, they're old-fashioned. They're old-fashioned talk. They're old-fashioned stories. Old-fashioned storylines." Although they did a heck of a lot of science fiction as well, but that was the biggest knock on them, that they were just all. They were just old-time radio. And, you know, that's why Hyman Brown actually created and sold the CBS Radio Mystery Theater as a homage to those people that love the old dramas, never dreaming he would get kids like me and other teenagers to stay up past their bedtime and listen to these things in their bedroom with the lights out.
To say nothing of the fact I'm sure he never dreamt that it would be streaming on the internet all over the planet.
But
no.
By a couple of goofs and a nice gal on a Saturday night.
I resemble that remark. Which one am I?
Yeah, one of the couple.
My goodness, Dave, your voice is a little low tonight, isn't it?
Yeah, could be, could be.
I feel damn pretty.
No, well, why. You drink enough and closing time and you never know.
Enough Canada Dry Zero. Anyway. It's about all I can handle these days.
Yeah, that, and you pick up the goat on the end of the counter. There you go.
Hey, what are you doing with that goat?
I'll never tell.
Leave that goat alone.
Oh, my God.
You're out making nuggets or something, are you?
Oh, my God.
Leave that poor goat alone. Oh, you have no, there'll be no sacrifices here on Erie House.
Leave that goat to its Guinness.
Yes. Well, with all that happiness out of the way, why not dive right into this tale? It's going to be a good 52 minutes of entertainment with part one of The Haunted Mill, and it's show number?
Show number 737.
Originally broadcast on?
November 8th, 1977.
Woo-hoo. News Radio 78, WBBM, Chicago.
Down to New Orleans on Delta, the airline that has more going for you. For openers, Delta has more nonstops than any other airline. Every morning, midday, afternoon, and early evening. And to get you in the mood for the good life in New Orleans, we're serving a choice of wines and tourists on all mealtime nonstops. Sparkling champagne or a dry white wine. What's more, Delta flies the only money-saving night coaches to New Orleans, just $74. And to wrap it up, Delta has more flight times to New Orleans than any other airline, over a dozen. For nonstops to New Orleans, Nashville, and Birmingham, too, see your travel agent or call Delta, the airline that has more going for you. And that's no jazz.
CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. What you see and what you believe are not always the same. Take the mysterious cults of mysticism, occultism, or spiritualism. Some people think such things are what they look like. Others say there is more to it. Some are drawn to it, others repulsed by it. The tale we're about to unfold concerns a man who thought belief in the unnatural showed a weakness of will, and it tells what happened to make him change his mind.
Charlie, my boy, there is no such thing as a house that is haunted.
I have stood at night below the cliffs on the beach, and I've seen all the windows suddenly light up as though a ghost had lit a candle in each room.
Well, Charlie, maybe someday I'll go have a look at it.
Well, why not now? You're not afraid, are you?
Mystery drama, The Haunted Mill, taken from that classic tale of the unseen world by Richard Donovan, was adapted especially for Mystery Theater by James Agate, Jr., and stars Ralph Bell and Russell Horton. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Contact, the 12-hour cold capsule. I'll be back shortly.
Take your contact, take it now, give your cold.
Can your cold medicine fight the congestion, shrink the swollen membranes, help relieve the runny, sneezy, cloggy misery caused by every known cold virus? Are you sure? Contact can. Today's contact does all that up to 12 hours, all day, all night, no matter what cold virus attacks. That's the wonder of contact.
If you're cold, you contact.
Take over as directed.
Is your bank open when you're busy and closed when you're not? Well, Northwest Federal Savings knows that a good place to save is ready for you when you're ready. So Northwest Federal's open 63 hours a week. If you work evenings, you can come to Northwest Federal 6 full days. Working days? Northwest Federal's open Monday, Thursday, and Friday evenings. And if the only time you can get to Northwest Federal is 8 o'clock in the morning, well, that's okay, too. Because Northwest Federal has early bird service every morning from 8 o'clock. You'll find 5 convenient Northwest Federal savings centers throughout Chicagoland's great Northwest Territory. So come into Northwest Federal Savings on your way to, from, or between work, shopping, or home. Anytime. Because Northwest Federal Savings keeps the best hours yours.
It's Northwest Federal Savings time, 63 hours a week.
Doctors by nature are careful, cautious, scientific, and have inquiring minds. Alexis Carrel, the Nobel Prize doctor, once said, "A few observations and much reasoning leads to error. Many observations and a little reasoning leads to truth." Meet Dr. James Patmore, a man of reason who could not believe his senses when faced with the truth.
What I am about to relate is so weird and startling, especially for a man trained in science as I am, that I can only let the facts speak for themselves and have you who hear my voice reject my tale or accept it. I am a member of the Royal College of Physicians, author of a number of medical books, but it was my decision to take up practice in the small town of Brenton that changed my life and almost everything I believed in. One night at exactly midnight, there was a knock at my cottage door.
Come in, come in. Oh, good Lord, man. You're bleeding.
Here, let me help you to a chair.
I don't know what happened. I saw your light. I just managed to crawl here. You're the doctor, aren't you?
Now, don't talk. Yes, 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 I'm the doctor. Here, now, press this against your forehead. Just a second now. I want to move this kerosene lamp a little closer to see. Aha. That doesn't look too bad. You were fortunate, young man.
I'm Charles Royce. We haven't met.
Just swabbing the cut. Cleaning it out. You've got some wood in there. What did you do, run into a tree? I'm Dr. Patmore.
Oh, you're not a native, so I should say welcome. When I left Brenton 3 years ago, we didn't have a doctor for 50 miles. I've been away at sea all that time, doctor.
Yes, that looks cleaner. Well, I've only taken up practice here last year. Charles Royce.
Yes, sir.
Are you the, is that your father and mother on Gorse Hill Farm, about 2 miles south of town?
Oh, do you know?
Oh, yes, very well. I've been treating your father's lumbago and your mother's arthritis. Yes, indeed, they told me about their wild son, and I expect that you are here.
Not as wild as they like to make out. It's just their way of explaining why I was shipped off to sea. But not that I'm sorry. I liked it.
Well, there we are. Now try to keep that bandage around your head. Would you like some tea?
Oh, I certainly would. You don't mind if I shed my boots and my jacket? They are soaked.
Put them over by the fire.
Thank you, I will. It was really amazing what happened to me. I was on my horse, I know that. It's the mystery of the whole thing. I really don't know.
Here we are. Drink this while it's hot, eh?
I was on my way to see Hannah. Oh, that's the girl I was hoping to marry, and I used to see a lot of her before. Well, I was riding along up by the haunted mill, and suddenly something seemed to lean down at me out of a tree branch over my head, and that's all I remember. was knocked right off my horse onto the ground. And when I came to, my horse had bolted. There was this blood streaming down over my eyes. Somehow I saw your cottage, the light, and managed to get here. That's all I remember.
Now, you didn't see anything when it happened?
Stars. That's about all. Oh, boy. This tea hits the spot.
Is there someone in town who doesn't like you?
Yes, I guess there is.
Well, do you think this person would have...
I think he could have ambushed me in the dark, yes, but... No, frankly, I don't think he has enough guts. It's like this, Dr. Patmore.
Why don't you call me Jim? I'll call you Charlie, if I may.
Oh, glad to. Well, 3 years ago, I wanted to marry Hannah Bliss, and I still want to marry her, but 3 years ago, I was 17, and I listened to my father and mother, and they said, you're too young, you wait. So, I went to see. Well, actually, my father arranged that I was sent, and I got back last week, 3 years almost to the day. My folks were glad to have me back, but all I really cared about was that they said, all right, you still want to marry Hannah? And I said, yes. And they said, that's too bad. She's met up with Silas Hart, and she's going to marry him. Doctor, I didn't even unpack my bag. I went right out the door to see her.
Charlie, it's not you. You're here.
Hello, Hannah. You didn't change much.
You have, Charlie. You look taller and stronger. I almost wouldn't know you.
You got prettier.
I can't believe it's you.
3 years, Hannah. I was only a boy then. Is it true about you and Silas?
Who told you?
Mom and Dad. In fact, at the moment I walked in the door, you're going to marry him?
Yes.
I don't understand it. I went away believing you would wait. You told me you would.
3 years is a long time.
I would have waited 10 years for you.
How would I know when he'd come back, Charlie? If he'd come back.
What are you talking about? I wrote you from every single port we hit. I told you my plans.
What, Charlie? I didn't get any letters.
Oh, no.
Not one letter. That's the truth.
Not one?
So I gave up on you.
Why would they do that?
What are you saying?
You know what I'm saying. Your folks were just as much against our marrying as my folks. They took my letters. They must have.
Oh, Charlie.
For 3 years, not a day passed, but I was thinking of you. About the life we'd have together. And all along, I thought you felt the same way.
Yes. I know I did, but what can I do?
Do? About Silas?
We've posted the banns. We're getting married in 3 weeks.
Hannah, do you love him?
I thought so. Oh, Charlie, listen, that was before. That was when I thought I'd never see you again.
And now that you see me again?
I don't want you to go away.
I don't want to go away either, Hannah.
But what will we do?
Never mind. It'll work out. Like the old saying goes, love will find a way.
And did love find a way, Charles?
Well, I guess it did, Doctor. Jim. Anne and I have been seeing each other every day, every evening, that is, for the whole week. And tonight she was going to tell Silas she couldn't go through with the wedding.
So now Silas knows, eh?
Well, I think so, if he showed up there. He was supposed to see her at 8. I was on my way over about 10 to find out what happened, and that's when I got hit by whatever it was. Yeah, that's right. It was just as I was passing the haunted mill. I wonder...
What is it? You wonder what?
Maybe because I was so near the haunted mill, maybe that had something to do with it.
How could it?
You're new in town, Jim. That mill. Everyone here, we all know that place is haunted.
Charlie, you were knocked down by something solid, something made of wood, not by a ghost.
Shouldn't have taken that mill road.
Oh, come now, come. There's no such thing as a house that is haunted.
Have you ever been there, Doctor?
Hardly. I wouldn't waste my time.
I don't know. Sometimes I've seen... Not lately, but when I was a boy...
What have you seen?
Oh, I have stood at night on the beach below the cliffs, and I have seen the windows suddenly all light up like a ghost had lit a candle in each room.
All right. Well, maybe someday I'll have a look at it.
Why not now?
Now? It's past midnight.
You're not afraid, are you?
What are you talking about?
I've talked to people like you before. Now, maybe I haven't had the education, but I like to find out and see things for myself. You don't want to see for yourself. You get your learning from books.
All right. All right, I'll go. But does it have to be right now, this minute, in the dead of night?
Yes, I want to take you right now, Jim. Now, when it's dark. Now, when there's been a storm. Now, when all the elements have been riled up. And I think maybe there's some learning you have in store.
Morning, Hannah. Well, you're up early feeding the chickens.
Charlie, where were you last night? I waited. Your head, what's happened to you?
Oh, don't worry, it's a big bandage over a small cut.
Oh, you had me so worried. Silas left at 9 o'clock and I waited and waited and there was that terrible storm and you never came.
Oh, not from choice, darling. I was riding by the haunted mill and... Well, something attacked me. I was on my way over to see you.
What do you mean something attacked you?
Knocked me right off my horse. This is Dr. Pat Marsall. He has two. I borrowed it till he could round up mine. It bolted and ran away.
Are you all right?
Well, of course I am. It's just a big bruise.
Charlie, it's Silas.
Oh. That's what I came to find out. How did he take it? What did you tell him?
Oh, he was so fierce. I told him it was all a mistake, that I'd become engaged to him because I thought you were never coming back. He was like a hunted animal, backing away. I said that you and I were going to get married. And he cursed you and said how he wished you'd never come back, how he wished your ship had been sunk at sea. I made him stop. I couldn't listen anymore.
Now, don't worry. Silas won't do anything.
Oh, it's not me I'm worried about. His eyes went so funny. And I remember when he said goodbye, he said, if I can't marry you, Hannah, nobody else will.
An idle threat by a rejected suitor?
Oh.
A strange little town, Britain by the sea.
You shouldn't say
strange
things like that.
Inhabitants. The town and the town's people are almost as though they hadn't been touched by the 20th century. And it is here that a modern doctor, James Patmore, has come to practice. How could he fit into a community that appeared to be in the grip of fear, fate, and fantasy? We shall learn more when I return shortly with Act Two.
Hello.
Huh?
I'm glad you're using your library.
What's in that?
The library is an exciting place.
Are you a book talking to me?
That's right.
Who are you?
Adventure.
The voice of an adventure?
Yes.
Are you something like the Bionic Man?
Have you ever thought about doing something really adventurous?
Wow, a talking book. They'll never believe me at school.
Like riding the range with cowboys of the Old West?
Yeah, but that was ages ago.
It could be today if you read a book.
Really?
Or you could go big game hunting on a safari to Africa.
With lions and alligators?
Right. Or even to outer space with a team of astronauts.
Outer space? Boy, that's adventure.
Sure, the library's one adventure after another.
Excuse me, I'm going to get a book and take a little trip.
A little trip? Where are you going?
Not in your van.
Great. And remember, use your imagination. Use your library.
Sorry.
I'm not getting in your van, mister.
Want some candy, little boy?
Oh, gosh, no. That's horrible. Yeah, good story. Brewing in the haunted mill.
Just getting started here. Just getting started.
Warming up.
Absolutely. Seems like the star-crossed lovers, as it were.
Yep. Yep, and all those that were against they together.
Quite
her parents,
so.
His parents, you know, so wow.
They'll show
you
them.
Know, sort of rough. Yeah, got a little Hatfield McCoy going around here, only in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. Hatfield
almost a little
McCoy,
bit of Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah. The Hatfield McCoy story is actually true. I can't remember which one is which, but Hatfield either was a guy or a woman, or vice versa. They said, get lost with the feud. They got married. Of course, they were each other's practice spouses, so that didn't really work out well.
Oh.
And cousins.
Identical cousins, and you'll find.
First cousins. Oh,
dear. Isn't that The Hills Have Eyes or something? Oh, my.
There you go. Oh, God. Oh, goodness. That was a good movie. But hey, we got a good radio program tonight.
It is a tasty one.
Yeah, we haven't really got into the haunting part yet, which is odd that he's there the next day. And I guess he hadn't got the doctor to go up to that haunted mill yet to see what's going to happen.
You can always count.
Doctor, most definitely. The doctor's a person of science. Person of science. Poo-poo that haunted stuff. Stuff and nonsense.
Well, yeah. I mean, many times there are probably explanations for the sounds that happen and the noises that are made and things like that, but it takes away from a story if that's true.
Yeah, but what if it isn't? Say, ooh, creaky, creaky, creaky noises. Someone comes along with, here's a canister of WD-40. Problem solved. Good night.
So, you know, all this time we've been here, Dale is kind of on the fence about, and I'm in the mold that I do believe in the spirit world. So where does CW fit into that?
CW fits into the following. It was, to paraphrase the great bard, that's Bill Shakespeare, individual. Bill Shakespeare there. Yeah, Bill Shakespeare said something to the fact that there are more things in heaven and earth than are dreamt of in your philosophy. In short, just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. Ta-da!
There you go.
True.
There you go.
I guess you'd say I'm cautiously skeptic. But I'm leaving my door open for the possibility of things.
I am shocked.
As yet undiscovered.
Shocked. Not been educated by Carl Koshek and the X-Files? Did you learn nothing?
I thought it was a show.
Oh,
I didn't know it was a documentary, man. No one told me.
Tisk, tisk, tisk.
It never said so in the credits. So I just figured, all right.
That's okay. For a guy who's experienced a couple of dream things, you know, as you have, I guess that's what puts you on the fence instead of a non-believer.
I think so, because it left that shred of doubt because it seemed more than coincidental. I tend to worship logic, but when things defy logic, then you have to accept something that may not seem logical because the logic ain't there.
But Dale, come to the dark side, because there is
a dark side.
The dark side.
No, I got divorced.
You do not know. You do not know the power of the dark side.
I am your grandmother.
As long as you're not your own grandpa, you're okay.
Oh, you never know.
Yeah.
It may sound funny, I know, but it really is so.
Get into that paradox.
Yep.
Okay, well, let's continue with the Haunted Mill, because we got a ways to go yet. Here's part two.
Where is it?
My savings to Crawford for higher interest than at a bank, any bank, and it's compounded daily.
I'm switching my checking and savings account to Crawford.
You're singing about it?
Crawford Savings.
Would you?
I switched and didn't have to give up the convenience of checking. Crawford Savings Now account. Why, it's just like checking.
We're switching our checking.
Just like checking,
we're switching from Twitter.
Get higher interest on your savings and Now accounts.
Sorry.
They're just like checking at 11 Chicagoland Crawford locations,
including offices in Oak Brook Terrace and in Chicago at 112th and Kedzie.
Centuries, astrologists, psychics, numerologists, and others have tried to probe into the unexplainable mysteries. This is what Dr. Jim Patmore is faced with: reconciling scientific fact with forbidden knowledge. That dead-of-night visit to the haunted mill with Charlie Royce turned out to be impossible for him to forget or dismiss.
The haunted mill was forlorn and mournful-looking, and in the clearing skies and moonlight, singularly weird. But I could see it for what it was, and I knew it was merely a disused, abandoned building. What I did not know was that this would be the last time I would see Charlie Royce alive.
How about we go inside?
I'm just standing here waiting for the windows to light up.
You are a disbelieving, stubborn man, aren't you? Now, come on, I'll push open this wooden bolt that fastens the door. What's that? Bats. They nest here. Well, how do you like it, homie?
Well, it doesn't frighten me.
Shine your lantern higher, Jim. Did you ever see such large spiders making webs?
Well, what else could you expect in an abandoned building? All right, Charlie, where's your ghost? I'm here. I'm waiting for some manifestation.
Just settle down. Wait and see. Look up there.
Well, all I can see is flying bats.
No, I mean the roof has fallen in. I can see the moon.
Charlie, I have seen roofs fallen in before. What I came here for are your apparitions. If there is nothing to see but bats and spiders... What was that?
Something closed the front door. It's stuck. I can't get it open.
Let me bring the lantern over.
You see, there's no knob on this side. Jim, hold it a little lower. I want to take a look through the crack between the jamb and the door. Jim, the bolt is closed. The wooden bolt has been drawn across the door, locking us in here. See for yourself.
Oh, great heavens, you're right. It's been bolted shut. Well, someone's playing games with us.
Or something.
Oh, this is ridiculous. All right, whoever is out there, open up this door. Open it up, I say, at once.
What? Is that somebody? It isn't a person, Jim. I've heard that crazy laughter since the first time I came up here when I was 10.
Oh, nonsense. That's just the wind.
All right, you out there. Open this door. Now open it. Jim, the door will open in its own time. Believe me. Now just wait. Here, take your lantern back and have a good look around.
I do hope, Charlie, that this isn't some practical joke of yours to impress me. I'll tell you right now, whatever is going on is not the work of any supernatural demons. And nothing will make me believe it is.
Jim, look out. Get out of the way.
Oh. Oh,
Well, it's a miracle you weren't crushed. It just missed you by a hair.
All right, I've had enough. I think it's time to go.
Do you hear that? The bolt outside is opening itself.
Oh, stop now.
Do you see anyone out there? It opened of its own accord. What did I tell you? Those that haunt the mill are letting us go now.
Well, you can believe that if you want to.
Jim, I'll tell you something else that's strange, at least to me. This is the very first time I've been in the mill when I wasn't deathly afraid. Everything that's happened tonight, I could almost foresee it. It didn't frighten me. Do you think that finally I've been accepted by the spirits who live here?
Spirits? Frankly, Charlie, I don't know what to make of it, and I'm not going to pretend I do, but I can tell you this. I am sure there are physical reasons for everything that has happened here tonight.
Physical, not metaphysical. A few days went by, and I heard no more from Charlie Royce. I was a little concerned over his head injury, so one night, after office hours, I went over to Gorse Hill Farm. It was about 9 o'clock after dinner.
Oh, glad you stopped by, Doctor.
Mr. Royce, good evening.
I was going to come see you about my back.
How is that muscle tenderness?
Yeah.
On the whole, you've improved a great deal since last year, you know.
I have still.
I'll prescribe some new exercises for you to do. How's your son, Charlie, and Mrs. Royce?
We haven't seen Charlie since the night before last. Or was it the night before that? I don't know what that boy is up to.
I really came by to see how that cut was mending.
I'll tell you this. His mother's taken it pretty hard. He's away 3 years, back one day, and then out every day with that girl. I'll bet she knows where he is.
You haven't seen him? He hasn't been here for 2 nights?
3. And his mother's crying her eyes out. You know what I think? Of course, I haven't been over to Hannah's folks to ask them. But I think those two young'uns ran away. I haven't mentioned that to Mrs. Royce, but that's what I think.
But why would Charlie do a thing like that?
There were lots of reasons. Maybe Mr. and Mrs. Bliss weren't so all-fired happy about Charlie showing up. They were kind of keen on her marrying Silas, you know. The Harts have got more money than the rest of the town put together. His brother Ezra has the Brinton Inn, one in Axminster. He runs a fleet of fishing boats, and Silas's mother and father, well, say they own half the town. He'd be a darn good catch.
What sort of work does Silas do?
He does nothing. He doesn't have to. If you were going to come into property stretching from the seacoast clear over to the mill and back, you wouldn't have to work.
Well, I'm sorry Charlie is not here. I'd better start for home or I'll get blown off the road. You tell Johnny I stopped by, and I'll be seeing you, Mr. Royce, with those exercises for your back. Now, don't worry about Charlie. He'll be back. Goodbye now.
Doctor, will you close that front door? It's blown out every candle in the room. Either go out and close the door or come back in.
I can't budge this door. It won't move. It's stuck open.
Doctor? Doctor, I can't see a darn thing in the dark. Doctor, are you still there?
I'm still here, Mr. Royce. Can you strike a match?
A match? Say, what happened to the fire? There was a fire in that fireplace. Why didn't you close that door?
I couldn't, Mr. Royce. I pushed it with all my might. It wouldn't give. Here, maybe I've got a match.
What's that, Doctor? Isn't there someone standing at the door?
There is someone.
Charlie, is that you?
Charlie, it is you. You still got that bandage on. Here, let me have a look.
I'm not ready yet. Not yet. Not yet.
Where have you been, boy? Your mother's been frantic.
Tell Mother that I love her. And I always will.
Come on over to the fire. We were just going to light it. All the candles went out. Come on, sit down, boy.
I have a long way to go. But I'm not... ready yet. You're going away again? Charlie, I can't see you. Charlie.
I think he's gone, Mr. Royce.
What do you mean he's gone? He was just here. We were talking to him. Charlie, where is that boy? I didn't see him go out the door, did you?
No. Ah, here, I found some matches. I'll light this candle.
You're right. He isn't here anymore. I could see him. You know, because... Did you notice he had a kind of greenish light all around him?
Yes, I noticed that.
Like when we fish at night. Phosphorescence, they call it. He didn't pass me to go upstairs. We didn't see the front door open. Maybe he got out somehow and is standing outside. And I'll have a look. Charlie! Charlie! Hannah! What are you doing here? Come inside, child. Hannah, did you see Charlie out there?
No, I didn't, Mr. Royce. It's Charlie that I've come here about.
Here, take off your wet things, dear.
I can't stay. I promised Mother I'd be back as soon as I could.
Dr. Patmore, this is Hannah Bliss.
How do you do?
What is it, Hannah? What about Charlie? Did you two decide to come back?
I don't know what you're talking about, Mr. Royce. Charlie and I didn't go anywhere. Is he here? Can I talk to him, please?
Charlie's not here. I mean, I thought he was just now. It's so hard to explain. I thought he was with you.
Hannah, these past few days, you mean to say that you have not seen Charlie?
No, not for 3 days. What's the matter? What do you mean he was here just now? Why won't he come to see me? What have I done, Mr.
Are you Royce? Saying that you haven't seen him for 3 days?
I haven't, no. The last time was the morning after I told Silas we couldn't get married. Charlie had an accident, his head. That afternoon we were going to the church, change the old bands and ask the priest to post new ones. I've been waiting and waiting and nearly going crazy. And then I thought maybe he decided he didn't want to marry me after all, so... I put my pride in my pocket and came over here to find out. But you say he's not here. When will he be back?
We don't know.
Hannah, it's all right. I'm sure it's just a misunderstanding. He'll show up.
Do you think he's all right?
Oh, well, of course he is.
Now, you trot back home, dear, before more parents get worried about their children. All right?
Yes, sir, I will. And thank you, Dr. Patmore. And you, Mr. Royce. I'm sorry if I caused any trouble. I didn't mean to. I'll make Charlie a really good wife. I promise I will.
Oh, of course you will. Now, go on home.
Good night, Mr. Royce. Good night, Dr. Patmore.
Good night.
Hannah hasn't seen my boy in all these days either. But we saw him, Doctor, didn't we? I mean, I'm not going crazy.
We saw him and we heard him. One possibility, a blow like he'd received could have caused temporary amnesia. Charlie may be wandering around not knowing who he is or where he is.
Well, if that's really him we saw, what did he mean he wasn't ready yet? Oh, Lord. What am I going to tell his mother?
That you saw him and he's all right and he'll be back.
Do you honestly believe that, Doctor? It just isn't ordinary what happened. Do you know what I think, Doctor?
No.
I think Charlie is dead. And that wasn't Charlie who came here. It was his spirit.
Oh, now, nonsense. You can't believe that.
Oh, yes, I do. I feel it in my bones. I know it. Maybe we'll find Charlie somewhere. His body. But we'll never find him alive.
Could they have seen the ghost of Charlie Royce and not his living body? To appear like that and disappear. What human can do that? Or were both the doctor and the boy's father hypnotized somehow? But why was Charlie's father so positive he would never again see his son alive? If there are answers to these mysterious happenings, let's hope we find them when I return shortly with Act 3.
Let's put the brakes on burglars. They like to work fast, but out of sight. Keep hedges and shrubs around your house trim. Burglars hide in them. A window entry by a burglar is a whole lot less inviting if the shrubbery has been cut back. Standard double-hung windows can be made more secure with just a drill and a few nails.
A shrubbery?
Make sure your family and guests know where the nails are located in bedroom windows that might have to serve as fire exits. Crime resistance message from the American Legion and this radio station.
The 1978 century, a Buick like you've never seen before.
A little science.
The fastback design is pure function. Ah, but the execution is pure Buick.
A little magic.
It's trimmer than last year's, easy to park, fun to drive.
A little science.
Yet incredibly, there's more head and leg room inside.
A little magic.
The new Buick Century. Will wonders never cease?
A little science. A little magic.
This is WBBM Chicago.
If you need a muffler, now you can Midas-size your car in over 800 Midas shops in the United States.
I got Midas-sized in Topeka, Kansas. It goes to prove you're never too old.
I got Midas-sized in Brooklyn, New York. Words alone cannot express my satisfaction.
Once we Midas-size your car, you'll never have to buy a muffler for it again. Because at Midas, if anything ever goes wrong, we guarantee to replace the muffler free for as long as you own your American-made car. Noisy muffler? Don't compromise. Midas size at Midas.
I got Midas sized in Waco, Texas. You never seen a muffler that size before.
The next time you hear that noise, don't compromise.
Visit one of the 42 Midas shops in Greater Chicago. Midas, experts in the installation of mufflers on most foreign cars.
Yeah. I don't know if I appreciate your method of selling mufflers, pal.
I got Midas size, but my lawyer told me never to talk about it.
That's right. Not until the case is over.
That was right after I went to Earl Schaub and got my entire car painted for $49.95.
Yep.
Then I was Martinized as well.
Dean Martinized? Wow.
Could be.
But the tension builds. Ooh, did we see a spirit? An apparition?
Yeah, it's plenty haunted now.
Yeah, if it wasn't before, it certainly is now. Yeah.
Indeed.
And yet, the doctor still doesn't believe there is a scientific answer for what we just saw happen before our very eyes.
Yep. I don't know what it is, but there's some science somewhere.
Yep. I tell you, you just can't make those scientific types believe. There has to be empirical evidence. I tell you, it has to be scientific, I say.
Yep, do you say that? Yeah.
She did, boss. Okay. I did.
If you said that she said and she said that she said, then she must have said it.
That's just a bunch of he said, she said right there. Come on.
Yeah. We'll never hold up in court.
Fine tale from 1977.
Cheeseburger, please.
Just think, we were lads of 17.
Orange shake.
Dave, just think, we were lads of 17 when this came out.
Yes, we were. Wow.
Oh,
yeah, we both
goodness.
Were at this point. Yes, we were. Yep.
A few things have changed.
Yeah.
Not much, but a few.
You mean something besides my metabolism? Thanks.
Well, yeah. Oh, please. Oh, you're not alone. You are not alone. Father Time has not been kind. But then again, I wasn't kind to Father Time either. So what are you going to do?
You know, interesting, a few comments on this particular episode. It wasn't necessarily about this episode, but about mystery theater in general. And it's Paul writes, love when the show when I was in high school. Guess what I was listening to at 9:07? And then William comes on, maybe I should have traded places with Paul. I was in grade school and started at 11:07 for us. I had to be in bed, but they couldn't make me go to sleep in the winter. I had to curdle up my bed with an electric blanket, no longer recommended. Listening to my GE clock radio, still have one of those Descendants on my nightstands. When school was out, I'd be in the living room listening on the family stereo. Good times. How wonderful those electric blankets were on the freezing cold winter nights. And
especially in the tub.
Yeah.
Very bracing, you know.
For Jay,
I'm hoping that was a battery radio, power to radio, not an electric outlet.
Yep. In grade school, it came in at 10:07 by me. Best summer memories of sleeping out on the screened-in porch, eating s'mores, listening to Mystery Theater with the crickets chirping in the background. Ah, the good old days. And for us, I think it came on at about, I'm thinking about 10:07, went till 11 o'clock before the, actually half an hour of local news came on, believe it or not, on the radio.
Yep. News on the radio? Wow. What?
Yeah, no, but not just news, these 5-minute clip blitz, but they did like 20 minutes. It was pretty cool.
Outstanding.
Cool.
What a lovely reminiscence. Very nice to share that.
Yep.
And these are the people that Hyman Brown never aimed it at, but we're the kids he picked up as well, along with the adults that listened to it. My dad enjoyed it every once in a while as well.
I'm kicking myself for missing it. I mean, I'm enjoying the hell out of it now. But,
in almost any city you went to, I know that when we toured in D.C., we could catch a Virginia station airing it and things like that. So wherever you went, you could pretty much find it somewhere.
Good stuff. And we got it.
That's wonderful. And now, as previously stated, it's available everywhere.
But it's heard best here.
Yep. That's right.
Right here.
On every house, because we got CW, we got Dave, we got Gar. What more could you ask for?
We got Dale.
Oh, that guy. Dale. Come on.
We got, and we got part three of this exciting tale coming up.
Yep, and let's get to it, because then maybe we'll have some time for some more fun radio stuff to share as we wrap up The Haunted Mill.
The world of James Patmore, M.D., was being shaken. The science of cause and effect seemed no explanation of the mysterious occurrences in the little town of Brinton by the sea. And if scientific deduction failed Dr. Patmore, his destiny was somewhat less than controllable. That concerned him deeply. He knew he could not let himself be frightened or feel fated. He had to find out. I had to find out. Where had Charlie Royce gone?
Was he alive or dead, hiding or killed? Days passed and still no sign of him. He had simply vanished. Some suspected Charlie's rival Silas, who said nothing, and said he knew nothing. One day, Silas's brother Ezra Hart, who ran the Brenton Inn, asked me to come see his wife, who was ill. I examined her and then joined him downstairs where he was working at the bar.
How is she, Doc?
It's a touch of flu, Ezra, is nothing more. A lot of it going around.
How long has she been laid up?
It's hard to say. 2 weeks, about. Now, you keep her warm and quiet.
2 weeks? Well, what am I going to do about the inn? You can't get any help these days.
Oh, surely there's someone you can call on to help you out. What about your brother Silas?
You must be joking, Doctor. Silas? The worst thing my father ever did was to leave him money. He hadn't lifted a finger to do an honest day's work since he was 15. He's not ambitious like Charlie Royce was.
Was?
I mean, is, for all I know. I just haven't seen him lately.
Did Charlie Royce come to the inn, Ezra?
The chief police asked me the same question.
Well, it's about time they started asking questions.
My guess is that Charlie went back to sea. Anyway, I told him Charlie was here the day after the big storm. He had a bandage around his head. Said he was going to see a priest later, but he was still kind of groggy from falling off his horse the night before. About six it was. He sat right where you are, Doctor, right there. Drank a pint of ale and started to get dark fast, real black outside. Another big storm blowing in off the sea. I turned around and suddenly he was gone.
Was he walking or riding, Ezra?
He was walking. His horse had bolted the night before and he still hadn't found it. I said to the police chief, you have to cross the common to get to the rectory. There are several pools and treacherous hollows on the common. You ought to search there.
So I suppose they're looking there, eh?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. How much do I owe you for visiting Mrs. Hart?
Oh, I'll send you bill, Ezra. Don't worry.
Oh, Charlie will turn up, I'm sure. Like a bad penny.
You know, I can understand you saying that. After all, Silas is your brother.
Well, even if he weren't, it was wrong of Charlie to come back and turn that girl's head. That wasn't right. No, sir. Charlie knew Hannah was spoken for. Why, even the bands had been posted. Them running around made Silas the joke of the town. You'll find lots of folks hereabouts not too all-fired sorry that Charlie's gone.
Charlie's disappearance lengthened into weeks, then months. Everyone for miles around had some theory. Finally, the police gave up their search. No one seemed to care anymore except his father and Hannah Bliss. Winter was upon us, roads almost impassable. But I had one patient I always managed to see, sick from disappointment and anxiety. A rather difficult illness to cure.
The fourth time this week, Doctor. You're spoiling me.
Oh, I had to pass this way anyway, Hannah.
I had a visitor this morning. Someone I hadn't seen in a long time. Do you remember Silas Hart?
Oh, yes, I certainly do. Where was your mother?
She was out at the market, and Silas walked in the door.
I hope he didn't upset you.
I'm afraid he did. I've never seen him looking like that. Rings around his eyes, as if he hadn't slept for weeks. He said, I've kept from seeing you as long as I could. I know you aren't well.
What did he want, Hannah?
He said, Charlie's been gone a long time now. What about us? And I said, Charlie was gone for 3 years and I didn't wait for him. This time I'm going to.
And how long did he stay?
About an hour. He said, couldn't we try to make it like it was before Charlie came back? And I said to him, no, Silas, I'm going to wait for him. And then he got up and went to the door and said, well, that may be, Hannah, but if it's Charlie you want, I think you're going to have to wait a long, long time.
calmed Hannah down. It was the uncertainty as much as the anxiety that made her ill. If only she could know what had happened to her fiancé, I felt that she could recover, even if the news was the worst. On the way home, late as it was, I could see the old mill. For some reason, I took the cliff road, the sea churning below me.
Doctor! Dr. Padmore!
Hello, Ezra.
Doctor,
what are you doing out there?
Doctor, quick, come and help me.
What's the matter?
Can you climb down these rocks to the beach with me? There's trouble.
What is it?
It's Silas. He came to the inn an hour ago and he handed me the keys to his house and he said, here, I won't be needing these anymore. Then he walked out. I ran out and asked people and they said, try the cliff road. When I got here, Silas was standing out there on one of them rocks. I called to him. He didn't hear me. Then I saw you coming, Doctor, so I ran up to the road to get you.
I don't see him. I don't see anybody.
Silas! Silas! Where are you?
Silas! Silas!
Oh, I heard it. It's that girl. I know it is. Silas! Come back!
There's nobody out there.
Yes, sir. Not a soul. The sea, the rocks, seagulls.
Now, come along. There's nothing we can do here. I bet when you went up the road to get me, Silas went on home. Come on now.
Stupid fool. Over a girl to do that.
Now, why are you so convinced that he's taken his life?
There was something very wrong, but I could not believe, as did Ezra, that it was Hannah's doing. If Silas had drowned himself, only a very guilty conscience could have driven him to it. We climbed back up the cliff road, and as I mounted my horse, it suddenly reared and almost threw me. For up on the hill stood the old mill, every single window ablaze with light. It was there, I felt, that the key to unlock this mystery lay. The only one person I could trust was Charlie Royce's father, John. So I went to see him and persuaded him to hitch up his cart with his favorite horse, Princess, and accompany me to the haunted mill.
I thought you said it was all superstition, Doctor. You didn't believe in all that.
Mr. Royce, if your journey should result in nothing, will you keep the matter a secret?
Certainly. But why?
All my adult life, I have taken with a great grain of salt the possibility of anything unnatural happening in our very natural world.
Well, then, why are you going to the mill?
One can always be wrong.
Princess! Princess! What's gotten into you?
She absolutely refuses to go on.
Stop it! Go on now!
Wait, I see what it is. Up in the road ahead. You see it, Mr. Royce?
Good Lord. A body. A corpse.
As if I can see right through it.
It's got blood streaming out of its head.
Lying there like that, Mr. Royce. Mr. Royce, we're neither of us imagining this. Are we? Is it really there?
I think it's Charlie. Glows, that greenish light, the same way Charlie was when he came to see us.
It's gone.
Well, I'm afraid Princess won't move a step.
All right, to the mare, Mr. Royce. The mill is hardly half a mile away. We'll each take a lantern.
You mean walk it?
Yes, yes, now.
I have to do is pull the wooden bolt back and the door will open.
Well, Dad, how did you know it could be opened?
I've been here before with Charlie. Now, don't be frightened. The bats won't harm you.
What's that?
It's only this old mill laughing at us.
Where do those steps lead? I've got to go up there.
I have the same feeling, Mr. Royce, as if
we were drawn up there
We have to go.
All right. One step at a time. I'll go first. Hold your lantern high. You see, there's a closed trap door at the top there.
I can't explain it, but I can't wait to get up these steps.
John Royce was one step right behind me. I reached the top and slowly pushed open a trap door. As I did, I am absolutely certain that I heard a sigh.
They must have kept the grain for thrashing up here.
There's still a sack of it over there in the corner.
Yes. Well, let's have a look.
Oh, no.
What is it?
I touched it just now with my foot, and, Mr. Royce, there is neither corn nor chaff in this sack.
It's tied up at the top with a cord. I have a knife.
Done. Do you really want to open this sack?
We have to, Doctor. You know we have to.
All right, then. Let me cut the cord. Oh, good Lord. Mr. Royce, don't look. Don't look.
Charlie. Oh, my Charlie.
His verdict was murder by person or persons unknown. Whoever hid Charlie's body in the old mill knew that no one in this town would look there. I may have been wrong to doubt the spirit of that poor boy trying to tell us where to find his body. But was I wrong about Silas? Was it not guilt that impelled Silas to seek his own watery death? Who else had the motive? The very next day, the old mill collapsed into a pile of wood. It had given up its last ghost.
To Dr. Jim Patmore, the greatest mystery of all was that he should have been selected by some supernatural power to bring this crime to light. I shall return shortly.
Hemorrhoid sufferers, the proof is here. Proof from leading doctors and hospitals of a medication that helps shrink swelling of hemorrhoidal tissues caused by inflammation. It's doctor-tested, hospital-tested Preparation H. Hundreds of tests prove that in many cases, Preparation H gives prompt temporary relief of occasional pain and itch and helps shrink swollen, inflamed hemorrhoidal tissues. Preparation H, ointment or suppositories, use only as directed. Doctor-tested, hospital-tested Preparation H helps shrink swollen hemorrhoidal tissues.
And put your problem behind you.
Hi, this is Lola Falana. If you think you're being discriminated against on your job because you're between 40 and 65, call the people at the nearest wage and hour division office today. They're listed under the U.S. Government Department of Labor.
God, older than that.
This message has been brought to you as a public service by the U.S. Department of Labor and this station.
Those who make a study of the occult believe that anyone who has suffered a violent death cannot rest until that death has been avenged. That the spirit will keep reliving its final agony like a phonograph needle stuck in the last groove of a record. We trust fate will be kinder to you, and that you may never meet up with a homeless, tortured, wandering spirit. Our cast included Ralph Bell, Russell Horton, Patricia Elliott, and Court Benson. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. Now, a preview of our next tale.
Read what Carol says.
Friend of mother's would want...
You know that she died on the 2nd of the month and was buried privately 2 days later. I am married and... Wait a minute. Min Wilkins died on the 2nd of the month, and this is the 15th. And you say she visited you 3 days ago?
She did. She did. She sat right here in this living room, and she remembered liking it and talked about bequests. Oh, Will.
No, no, no. Take it easy. Catch your breath.
You don't believe me.
Well, how can I?
But, Will, it's true.
Oh, it can't be true, Laura. The woman was dead and buried 3 weeks ago. She couldn't have called on you just 3 days ago.
But she did.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Contact, the 12-hour cold capsule, and Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre.
Macabre.
Until next time, pleasant.
So you say.
It did.
Dun, dun, dun.
Some of that music, Dave, in there, I swear, and it's very likely because this is CBS, but I swear it came from Twilight Zone.
It did. This particular song here came from the episode 2. It was written, Rod Serling had this written for Twilight Zone, and it was the one with Charles Bronson and Elizabeth Montgomery. And when Rod sold out his half to CBS, all of the music became part of CBS stock music. So
some of it being Bernard Herrmann's work.
Some of it being Bernard Herrmann's, Jerry Goldsmith, and I forget who else was in there. But yeah, it became all part of the CBS music catalog, which Hyman Brown got to use because he was working with the CBS radio network.
So he got to a wealth of things to latch on to. Thanks again to Rod
Serling. Along with a CBS a sound effects library that they have. I have a copy of that myself, the CBS sound effects library.
Oh, nice. I used to have access to vinyl copies, no less, of the Hanna-Barbera stuff. Good stuff. Every goofy sound effect from the cartoons we grew up with, you'd ever want to imagine. Good stuff.
Yep, and they probably paid as much for their music as they did their animation, but they didn't buy a whole lot of it, so you got to hear it in every episode of every type of cartoon they ever had, and Squiddly Diddly to
each had their own theme, like Augie Doggy
had their own theme, right?
Yeah. Their own intro, their own outro, and then just incidental music for part of the skits. And it looks like they did use a bunch of Twilight Zone music for CBS Radio Mystery Theater. Way cool.
Yes. Way cool. Way cool.
Very much so. Way, way cool.
And we got time for a wheel.
For more fun, yes.
Oh, can I spin? Can I, huh?
You betcha.
You certainly can.
Alrighty, coming up to the podium, up the stairs, around the corner, over the bridge, through the mill, on the mill, falling
down.
The moat. Okay, never mind that. Okay, in the moat. And here we go. Spin to win.
Around, around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
What will we talk about?
Well, how about drugstores? That's where I was this morning.
Drugstores? Why not? Be fine.
Well, I went there to get a prescription filled. And when I handed it to the man behind the counter, I noticed a very funny thing, George. There was a diploma on the wall. Do you know that man studied to be a pharmacist?
What's so funny about that?
Well, it shows you how strange life can be. He studied to be a pharmacist, and there he is running
a drugstore.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, a lot of men get sidetracked. For instance, I knew a fellow who studied to be a mortician, and now he's an undertaker.
Yes, seems such a shame.
Yeah, but that's Hollywood for you.
But after seeing all those things in the drugstore, I realized what wonderful work scientists do. Now, take powder, for instance.
Powder?
Yes, thanks to the scientists, you can use it on your teeth so they'll shine, and you can use it on your nose so it won't.
Yeah, well, it's not all work with them. On their day off, they usually go out and split a few atoms. What else did you find out in the drugstore?
Well, I saw a big display of kiss-proof lipsticks.
Kiss-proof lipsticks?
Yes, and George, you know, I'm a little worried about the modern girls.
Why should that worry you?
Well, it was different when I was a girl. When we kissed a boy, he didn't need lipstick on his face for proof. He knew he'd been kissed.
Chrissy, didn't you tell me that I was the first fella you ever kissed?
Then I went to the fountain to have him malted.
I knew you'd go there.
Oh, and the way some women dress now. I said to this nice little old man sitting in the stool next to me, look at that customer over there at the magazine counter. In those flats, you can't tell whether he's a girl or she's a boy.
What did the old man say?
He said, she's a girl and she's my daughter, and I apologize. I said, I didn't realize you were her father. He says, I'm not. I'm her mother.
Tracy, I'm kind of broad-minded. Was I the second fella you ever kissed? The third?
Then I talked to Mrs. Quigley, who was there to get some pills for her husband's nerves. She said he was a very nervous man, and it worried him because he didn't know why.
Fourth? Fifth?
So I told Mrs. Quigley. I said, well, if you want to keep him from worrying, why don't you forget about the pills and buy some firecrackers instead?
Six.
I said, Mrs. Quigley, why don't you set them off under his chair when he isn't looking? He may still be nervous, but at least he'll know why.
Gracie, how many fellas did you kiss before me?
Good night, everybody.
Thank you.
just do a threefer.
It would be nice to hear you play something classical. What's it going to be, Chico?
Well, I'd like to play the second movement from the Beer Barrel Polka.
Well, that gives you a rough idea of what's happening to the classics since Chico Marx has become an orchestra leader. Here it is, passengers, just as Chico featured it in his movie A Night at the Opera. Chico Marx, the piano, and the Beer Barrel Polka.
We had the time throwing a bunch of stuff there. We got Burns and Allen, Spike Jones, and of course Chico Marx with his Beer Barrel Polka rendition.
And just listen to that audience. That was you know, he was such a visual guy, as was his brothers, and the way he played the piano was amazing and hilarious.
Very artful,
shooting, you know, big across there, and then, you know, hitting the finger with his finger like he's shooting it, you know. Very, very entertaining. You heard that with the audience watching him there.
Yeah. I could almost visualize the way he played piano.
Absolutely. What a treat it would be to see him live doing all the little nuances and everything.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Been something.
And the one movie they did where it was one of the last ones they did together. And that was in the big store or something like that, the department store or something like that, where
yes.
Chico and Harpo both played the piano. Absolutely, what an amazing moment watching those two go at it.
Yeah. Well, it's just like, it's akin to Jack Benny. I mean, the way he played the violin so terribly, and I think there's at least one clip where he dropped that charade and showed that he was really
yes
exquisitely skilled on that violin.
I think
he knew how to play that thing.
If I'm not mistaken, it might have been once on his TV show.
Yes. I can't remember, but it's on YouTube. You have to look it up. It shows that he really knew how to play that thing, which is why he knew how to play it so horribly, because he knew how to play it so well.
Right, yeah. And that's the thing about Spike Jonze Band. As bad as they played some of those instruments, you had to be good to be playing it that bad.
Yeah, it was deliberate, obviously.
It was deliberate, and Jack Benny, I always got a kick out of watching him play, whether it was on a show or on a special or something. I thought he was a pretty good... Isaac Stern said he was the perfect image of a violinist, and then to see him go up in his tuxedo and his tails and his
yeah.
bow tie, and then to, you know,
butcher
it was
it.
Perfect until he put the bow to the to the violin. Yeah,
that was over.
And then he made it rain. Oh dear.
Yes,
and that was one of the. I mean, nobody did the running gag better than Jack Benny. And the great thing about running gag is each time you do it, it gets better. whether he was 39 years old or because 40 wasn't funny. That's why he stopped at 39 and kept being 39 forever. And his violin playing, the song that he wrote, "When You Say I Beg Your Pardon, That's When You'll Come Back to Me," or "I'll Come Back." I think that's when you'll come back to me. Something like that. And he played that from his radio show right into the TV show, even fooling Peter, Paul, and Mary into recording it, only because he had a hidden tape recorder.
Room
he had them singing it. Yeah.
Great episode.
Oh, my God, you're kidding. Oh, my gosh. I have to look that up. Oh, my gosh. What a faker.
Yeah.
There was a whole radio show where he dreamed the Philharmonic Orchestra was playing his song.
Yes.
That was hilarious, dude. Oh, my. He was a master.
Yeah, he was.
The running gag.
Yep. And speaking of running gags, we'll be back next week.
Oh.
What, are we running again?
Well, we're burning and crashing.
Yeah.
That's right.
Oh, no. It's a long
Mayday,
after,
Mayday,
after
Mayday.
Us again. Oh, yeah.
We're doing plane crashes.
Mayday.
Yep.
Friday, it's
Mayday.
Lights Out, High Adventure, and The Whistler. Yeah. That's
Saturday.
Yeah, that's Friday night.
Saturday night?
Saturday night.
It is.
We have another plane crash with CBS Radio Mystery Theater returning. An Arctic Encounter yet.
In High Adventure coming next week is the first time we've aired that. It is a South African program. I've been listening to a lot of the South African programs lately. I have a volunteer who's from South Africa originally. And so every day when I send him his readings, I send him a South African radio program. And he's getting a big kick out of that from, these are things he grew up with because the radio was king and they didn't have television until about 1972. And so the radio was really it was his thing. And I brought back, and then when he gets it and plays it, he shares it. He sends it over to his family members as well. So they're all getting a kick out of these old South Africa programs. So.
You're so well-connected, Dave. Well-connected indeed. Wow.
So I guess Garn will not be broadcasting tonight, sorry to say. There's the Vortex. Don't forget it. Horrorhouse.net, our friends over there.
Well, not only that, Dale, but the Weirdest Really Bad Movie returns on Tuesday night to the Vortex with the No Hands on the Clock episode of the Weirdest Really Bad Movie. This is one of my remastered ones. So come on over on Tuesday, 9 p.m. on horrorhost.net, and I'll be there.
Nice one.
Awesome.
Well done.
Perfect segue.
It was a perfect segue. Surprise, surprise, surprise.
Shazam.
A pleasant one.
Golly.
Oh, gosh.
I am the Whistler. And I walk by night. I have to. How can I sleep with all that doggone whistling going on?
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him. When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
Thanks, Vincent. Thank you, Vincent.
I cannot believe I did that because this thing was 20-some seconds off, but when they gave the minute warning, that's when I hit the Whistler and I lucked out. It got it right after the candle puff.
That was fun.
Once in a while, I back time well. Not so much all the time, but at work.
Well, it's hard to tell because you don't get good times. We don't have good time flashing in front of us, and you know, a minute, they should really have a 30-second in there, too. Then you'd really know where you stand.
Yep. I did not know they remade The Stand, speaking of The Stand.
Oh, yes, they did.
Brother.
Took forever to get through that book. Holy cow. I thought Anna Karenina was a nightmare on Elm Street. But, geez, what was Stephen King?
I had to read it again when they came out with the bigger, longer, like, 1,000-plus page version. It was a long book to begin with. And he added more stuff.
No. Oh, no. No, no, no. No. I like his stuff as movies and teleplays and whatnot. But I'm not reading any more of his stuff again. I mean, his stuff reminds you too much of Toy Story. Anna Karenina, War and Peace. They make great movies. They make great series. But it's like trudging through mud wearing high heels in a windstorm. No.
Wow.
I haven't had time to read in a long time.
But you know how tough that is wearing those high heels, Dale.
Yes, I hate it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's hard on the ankles.
It is.
Ouch.
But it's good for the calf muscles. Good for the calf muscles. Though.
Yes. Very defining.
Very much so.
From my old, still scarred, by the way, legs. Yeah, I had a coffee accident last year.
Yeah? Still scarred, huh?
Oh, my God, yeah. It's terrible.
You must give yourself, really? You give yourself a third-degree burn?
My wife thinks so. I didn't think so.
I think so, too. If you still got a scar there, third-degree burns, buddy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and there's like big areas of purple. Oh, man, I microwaved the crap out of it. I have to.
Oh, okay. You did it. I'm thinking, gosh, McDonald's learned nothing from that lawsuit from a few years back.
No, I did that to myself. I was at work, too. Oh, did I howl.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Broke the coffee cup, which pissed me off. But no, it was hot. Let's put it this way: I like my coffee so hot. You remember in Evil Dead when Ash grabbed that pot of coffee to get rid of those? Or no, that was Army of Darkness. Yeah, to get rid of the evil ashes that he had swallowed.
Oh God!
It's like that. It's like that. And rocket fuel. I don't make it often, but I like, what is it? Folgers has this stuff called Black Silk. It's really dark coffee.
Yeah, there's that one. There's another one I think I've seen of late, Death by Coffee. Yeah, it has a Southern Crossbones on the package.
I have seen that somewhere. I did see that somewhere, yeah.
They try having some kind of death.
All the other coffees backed away from it on the shelf, you know?
Yeah.
I think some manufacturer tried making death, like, themed cigarettes, and they're like, no, this isn't funny.
Yeah, it is.
I guess it didn't fly.
Well,
death coffee.
Of coffee.
Cigarette flavored coffee.
Die?
There you go.
Oh,
there you go, Dale.
You
got
your
it.
Your poop. All right.
Yeah.
Two for the price of one.
There you go.
Cigarette flavored coffee.
Yeah.
Gosh, I'm surprised somebody hasn't come up with that.
Oh, they have every flavor of everything. That's sometimes. Do you ever feel like there's just too many choices in the world?
Yes. That didn't take long to answer. No, yes.
Well, just, you know, getting back to what I was saying about all the different varieties of faux milk that we've discussed over the time. You know, you have...
Oh, yeah. Almond milk and...
hazelnut milk, walnut milk, rice milk, hemp milk. You have...
They have hemp milk? Good God.
Oh, yes. Oh, that's been around for a bit. And let's see. There's also cashew milk, of course. You have... Let's see. What else? Foam milk is there out there? Acorn, I think. Oh, there's acorn coffee. I've seen that.
That's another thing I can't handle anymore, along with alcohol, is milk. It's rough on me if I have too much milk.
Mm. Have you tried the stuff that's lactose-free?
No, it seems fake.
Well, it's real milk. They just pull that. No, it's not.
They pull the sugar out. They pull the sugar out, yeah.
Yeah, well, see. So I ain't drinking it.
Gosh. Well, you're such an infant.
I am in some ways. In some ways. Infantile, yeah. Yeah, I think so in some ways. keeps me
if
up,
I
right?
Can't have, you know, if I can't have all my milk all the way, I don't want my milk at all.
You know, it's funny because when I broke my jaw in that one car accident, I was wired shut for 6 months. And I was losing weight like crazy because all I would have is a chocolate shake with, I don't know, one of those adult.
Protein powder or something?
No, adult, like Ensure, you know?
Sure,
I mixed that in there with the milkshake in the morning, maybe put a little peanut butter in there. And at night I would have soup broth. Soup broth. And somebody said, oh, why don't you take a hamburger and put it in a blender? And I'm like, that's sacrilege. I'll wait.
You know, people have who've gotten that bariatric treatment to their stomach, if the stomach gets stable, they have done that nonsense. They have put steak and all this other stuff that they're not supposed to have because they can't really digest it anymore. Just you can only have about 3 bites and that's it. But put a whole thing in a blender, liquefy, and justify. Well, I mean,
yeah, I couldn't do that. And then, like, part of the way through, another tooth fell out. So at least I had a hole in there so I could have vegetable soup and take like a toothpick and stab one vegetable at a time and shove it in the hole. Arr! That was my pathetic existence. Yep.
Gosh, you were eating like a runway model, a Victoria's Secret model. That's how they keep those rail thin figures.
And you know you have to keep wire clippers on with you. Around with you.
Oh, yeah.
When you have your jaws wired shut. Just a second.
You do.
That would be awful. What a way to go. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Oh, my.
Fortunately, I didn't need that. And actually, it strengthened my jaw because I ended up breaking the wires. A straining at them after a while, you know, after several weeks. But yeah, I was like skinny when it started. I was like Auschwitz skinny when it was, which is a horrible expression, but I was quite skinny. That's an exaggeration, of course, but I was pretty skinny.
Yeah, you sound like what I was shocked to find out is that people who do the Greco-Roman wrestling, the wrestling team, what they'll do before they have a bout, they will absolutely do everything they can to lose as much weight as they can. So even though they have the muscle mass to belong to one weight class, they'll go down in their weight to another weight class, which gives them an edge.
Yep.
What they do is, I thought models had to hurt themselves or ballet dancers, but oh my gosh, torture, 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 torture.
That's a tough existence right there. Not for me. I like my food too much. I was skeletal when it ended, but I've been making up for it ever since. I know I lost another meal in there somewhere I got to make up for.
Yeah, but were you still able to speak, or were you awfully quiet, you know, just pointing at stuff?
Well, no, I taught myself a little bit something akin to ventriloquism and learning how, because, you know, your lips can open so I can still project sound and I project well, which is a polite way of saying I have a big mouth. But well, that's a fact. I learned to, and I can still do it a little bit, I learned to enunciate with my teeth clenched. And because I was still speaking for a living, I was a DJ. And I was going through some hard times.
Gosh.
It's funny, I was working at a Hoochie Coochie bar, you know, introducing the dancers. And they says, you know, they heard I was in an accident. I called them up and, we'll put you on the schedule right away. I go in, they go, you need to go home. I go, why? Well, those wires in your teeth are unsightly. I says, you have topless girls in here. If you were worried about them looking at my teeth, you got a bigger problem. I was so pissed and we were so desperate for money, but I went off on the dude. I says, I will never work for you ever again. I don't care what happens. You could multiply my pay by 10. I am so pissed off. I says, that is so uncool. He told me on the phone that I sounded great. I was very articulate. Come on into work. And you put me in the darkest corner of a stripper bar, and you're worried about what my freaking wires on my teeth look like?
My goodness.
Are you freaking kidding me? I was ticked. Yep. That was one of my billion jobs. Gary's not the only one.
Oh, my. You almost have many jobs, almost as many jobs as Gar. Almost. Not quite.
Almost. I had quite a few. Oh, yeah. Clean vegetables at a vegetable stand as a kid. Worked as a caddy as a kid. Cleaned windows at restaurants for a while. Worked in restaurants, scrubbing pots and pans. That was just my kid jobs. I was a lifeguard, was a security guard later, National Guard, tool and die apprentice, loan officer.
Oh,
there was all kinds of shit.
So you were actually in the reserve? Did you get the National Guard thing? Or
I was in peacetime from 78 to 81. That was another, I got out because of a motorcycle accident. They had a pin on my shoulder, and a busted thumb on the other arm. But, lucky
oh my
walking.
Gosh. How are you still alive? Are we certain that this is a person?
We haven't figured that out.
Let me tell you, things
hurt
later.
We're not sure that he is.
There's things that hurt later.
We're not sure that he is still alive. Yeah.
Bones, if they're broken in the middle, the horrible, worstest things, they mend better than when you break something at a joint. Oh, forget it. I'm a walking barometer. I can almost tell you when the barometer's changing, because certain things will flare up, and it's like, oh yeah, I remember that.
You sound like
thing I did.
Gosh, you sound like Evel Knievel's third cousin. Oh. Broke so many things.
Yeah, I was a pretty reckless idiot when I was young. Now I'm a much calmer idiot.
So Dave, do you have all your parts, or are you working on spares such as Dale?
Well, I'm working on getting spares, that's for sure. Yeah, I got kicked in the knee by a horse when I was a teenager, and it'd never been right. And it's getting to my age now, it is not. Not much better. So it is what it is.
Oh,
what it is.
My gosh.
Yeah.
Wow. I can't. I thought, you know, I mean, I've never been hurt like that. The worst I ever was hurt, I slipped and fell on some ice
That can, I'll tell you what, you can mess yourself up that way bad.
Yeah. Strangely enough, when I slipped and fell, and I don't know how, but I did a perfect du soleil split.
Cirque du Soleil.
And...
Ouch, help.
Yeah. You know, no, oh. Actually, it was in such... The momentum was, and the angle was just so perfect. It was one of those things where a person can fall and just stand up and walk away from it.
Wow.
I should have been in probably the hospital, but I don't know why. But I just got up, looked around, said, okay, all right, and just, you know, continued on. Yeah,
I guess I was up on a platform. That's about that. Yeah. Exactly.
She just dusts herself off.
Years
exactly.
Old.
That's a way.
And I was on this platform, which I promptly fell off of, landing on my head, and was unconscious all night long. I guess my grandfather didn't think I was ever going to wake up, but I got up the next morning ready to go at it again. So, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well,
got to watch those head injuries, man.
And our dear Mr. William Shatner, who is in his 90-plus years on planet Earth, he still horse rides. And it was an interview he was going to, and they noticed he was limping. Said, Mr. Shatner, what's wrong with you? He said, oh, well, nothing. It was just horseback riding and fell off the horse, but don't worry about it. Horse is fine.
The horse is fine.
Horse is fine. This is a friend, Jay Bach. He's the one I did the stand-up routine for, film that. And before one thing he did before, there's something he always wanted to do while he was in high school. He wanted to be a Hollywood stuntman. And he did. He actually went out to California. He went to Hollywood Stunt School, and he actually was in quite a few things. And I guess at one point he did a lot of work for Lauren, for Lauren Green, what was it? The kid, Little Joe.
Michael Landon?
Did a Little House on the Prairie. Michael Landon. He did a lot
Michael
of work
Landon.
For him, especially on Little House on the Prairie, I guess. Ooh. And I guess at one point said, do you know how to ride a horse? And Jay said, no, but I know how to fall off a horse.
No, I have never been on a horse. The proverbial hay burner is a journey I have never taken.
I have ridden some horses. I worked one summer cleaning horse stalls, and part of the pay was free use of the horses for a couple hours, so you go out riding. That was cool.
Nice.
Yeah, my dad ran a summer camp. It was a day camp, but we lived out there on the camp, so all the kids would go back and we'd be there. And I had run of the camp, which had horses and had a lake to fish in, and had a boat, a rowboat and a canoe, and we'd go out in the woods and build little lean-tos and things like that. But that was a heck of a summer.
Nice one. Fresh air, sunshine.
Did you have woods in your when growing up? Did both of you have woods behind, like, or nearby that you got to play in as a kid?
No.
We always did. My father thought that was important, that, you know, for us kids to have woods to play in. And, oh, my God, they used to build some huge forts way up in the trees. That was fun. Spending the summer up in the trees, you know. It's cool.
I had to go really do some serious traveling to find a wooded area to get out of the proverbial concrete jungle.
Yeah.
And say, hey, where's the styrofoam? Styrofoam is not naturally found in the woods. What?
Yeah, it was, you know, I had kind of a suburban upbringing, and then, you know, then I decided to go full country. Once my kids got to school age, well, we were in the city when we started our family, and I'm like, yeah, these kids aren't going to school here. They don't need to know how to field strip a rifle in kindergarten. Now they're teaching me the better stuff.
Yeah. This is how you put, okay, emergency drills. Put on your Kevlar jackets, your helmet, and jump into a foxhole. That's pretty much school now.
Yeah, I didn't think that was too wholesome. You know, I don't know. Call me weird. I thought maybe being out in the country around animals and stuff. And this collie, oh my God, I'm falling in love with this collie, guys. This dog is the greatest dog ever. And they have the most soulful eyes.
Are the felines of the household still getting along with Master Paladin?
The feline is still a gutless coward. And Paladin knows he's down here now, and it really bugs him. He whines at the Joe hole, as I call it. Once in a while, Joe's up in the... Yes. Well, we got a gate with a little pet door in it, and I call it the Joe hole. And once in a while, because he'll come out once in a while, if he knows Pal is outside, he'll come... he misses Mommy, so she doesn't come down in the basement very much. So he'll come out of the Joe hole and say hi to Mommy for a while. But other than that, no, he's a gutless coward, and he hides in the basement.
Oh, wow. Speaking of cats, if I ever get the opportunity to travel abroad, I should like to go to number 10 Downing Street to visit the cat who is the designated royal official mouser.
Oh,
number 10
really?
Downing Street.
I saw her on the internet not long ago. That is so cool.
Oh, yeah. Yep, he's the real McCoy. They let him out, and there is a guard right there by the door, a police officer, you know, the Bobby. And occasionally, you know, when the cat's pawing at the door, the Bobby will knock on the door, and somebody will come to the door and let him in. Am I five? Am I six? Am I seven? The cat is in the house.
That's awesome. He's got a good life. I used to have this a Maine Coon cat, and I never had the most gentle. They really are gentle giants. You know, they're just the most chill cat in the world. And at the same time, I had a husky. Well, the husky had absolute disdain for the cat. Like, yeah, don't touch me. I don't want my dog things to know I even know you. Because it's just not cool. But the cat constantly tried to buddy up with the dog, tried to sleep with him. He was cute, and he never, ever, ever, ever gave up. I wish I had him now, because he would be good buddies with this dog.
Yeah.
The dog loves everybody and everything.
Yeah, well, as long as the two are able to coexist without tearing the place apart, you should feel very lucky.
Yeah. But he hates squirrels. I don't know why. He hates squirrels. Or at least he likes
probably
chasing them.
Squirrel. Yeah, squirrel goes up a tree and laughs at them.
Yep. Yeah, once in a while, though, I tell you what, he has ninja skills. One day I forgot to shut the gate with the Joe hole, and I went downstairs, and I turn around, and I feel something brush against me, and there he is. This big gorilla dog goes into ninja mode.
Uh-oh.
He can be quiet as a mouse. So funny. But he wants to say hi to everybody, so they tend to bark a little bit.
Sounds fabulous. Gentlemen, I must be away. As always, it was absolutely fantastic. Wonderful show. Fun as
always.
Always
fantastic.
Thank you for being here.
You too. And Gar.
Thank you. I'm glad Gar is feeling better. I wish he could find a better ISP provider, for goodness sake.
Yeah, he pays business prices. He's got a business account for them. He pays double to three times what the normal person even pays, because he wanted to make sure he had the best connection possible.
Yeah, for what
maybe
he
does. Maybe if he downgraded, he'd have a better connection. I don't know.
knows?
Yeah, give it a try. It can't be any worse because at least he gets something. But
yeah, I'd be
giving
him a refund.
Nope.
Well, he's been getting some, but he doesn't want the refund. He wants the service, to work right.
Yeah. Yep. Well, with that.
Internet.
With that, it is with time that. For CW to do what she does best.
And without further ado, Mrs. Calabash's favorite person, Mr. Durante, the stage belongs to you.
What she does best is gets us to shut the hell up.
Good night.
It's time to say goodnight.
Good night.
I love it.
What for this say but good night? We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Arriba, mm-hmm. What we the think, and
eat-ka-tinka-doo.
Good night. Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash.
Now that wasn't so bad, was it?
It was disgusting.